Morning is a little bit different. As you know, we're going to have a special guest speaker. Before we do that, let's go ahead and take communion. If you didn't grab one of these and you want to participate in taking communion, go ahead and raise your hands. We'll have somebody come around and provide you one. I want to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters in all scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one, capital O, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." As we take communion every Sunday, we make remembrance of the fact that Jesus Christ took our place at the cross. This verse should remind us of Galatians 2:20, where Paul again says that I have been crucified together with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And here Paul is also saying that he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And some of the verses after this also talk about Christ's substitutionary atoning death. That's a big theological term, but basically Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, took our place at the cross and paid for all of our sins. And as he does that, and we come to him in repentance, in surrender, and we accept his gift of forgiveness and eternal life, we then have an opportunity to no longer live for ourselves, but to live for him who died for us and rose again. And so as we take communion this morning, I would love for us to be mindful of the fact that Christ died for us, and it's only because of him and through him that we're able to have a relationship with God, because our sins have been forgiven by him purchasing us through his blood and his very life, giving that up at the cross of Calvary. And as a result, we get to live for him and no longer for ourselves. A Christian is somebody that needs to be known as a giving individual, as a person who is not selfish, who doesn't focus on themselves, but is focused on God's kingdom, on his righteousness, and his glory. As you peel back the first layer, you take the bread. It's a special type of bread. It's unleavened bread. And it symbolizes, it represents the sinless body and life that our Lord Jesus gave up for us at the cross. Let's take that together. And as you peel back the second layer, you see the juice that represents the very blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very price paid for all of our sin. Praise be to him. Let's take that together. For the second time, let's go ahead and stand. I believe we should have old rugged cross ready to go. This is a hymn that's been sung for over 100 years by brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let's sing that together. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. We want you to memorize that. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we're grateful for this beautiful morning. Thank you for your countless blessings, Father, that we get to enjoy and experience only because and through you. I'm grateful for everybody who's here this morning. I pray your blessing on everyone. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. We know you're in us and around us. And we pray that it will be you that teaches us, that exhorts us, encourages us this morning to live a life worthy of your calling and for your honor and glory. For anyone here maybe new to hearing the gospel, new to church, we're grateful that you would allow us the opportunity to minister to them. We pray your blessing on them and again on everyone here and those joining us online as well. We also thank you for this wonderful gift of you bringing Nachi to us once again after many years and allowing us to have him be our guest speaker this morning. We're grateful. We pray your blessing on him. We ask this in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. You may have a seat. As you heard and you've probably seen and you should have known already coming in this morning that we have a guest speaker. We don't have guest speakers very often, as you know, and we're excited to have Nachi Lazarus join us this morning. We had to put in a special call to India to bring him over, and it all worked out great. You know, he happened to be in town, and he hasn't been here in several years because of COVID. He'll explain all that, I'm sure. But we're really delighted. We have a special friendship with Nachi. It's very dear to us. God has done some amazing things in him and through him, and we've been part of that. I don't know how much you'll get of that from his message this morning, but we're excited. We trust that the Lord has a word for you through him. And so, Nachi, I won't say much more other than, my brother, we love you here at Crosspoint. We appreciate you being here. Why don't you come up and share God's word with us, please?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I've been here to Crosspoint a few times, but to see this is awesome. Thank you, because I didn't see this new setup. Let's look to God's word. Would you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1 to 3. Basically, we're going to talk about that whole chapter, but let's start with verse 1 to 3. I read from New King James. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourself for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. Father, we praise you and worship you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that goes deep into our heart as a double-edged sword that pierces into the deepest places and accomplishes what you have destined it to do, Lord. And you said, my word will not come back void without doing what it was sent out to do. So this morning we ask you in the name of Jesus that your word will accomplish in our hearts, every person in this room, in our hearts, what you have sent it to do. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and be our teacher, open the eyes of our understanding so that we will see things we've never seen before. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor and praise. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. So this scripture that I just read to you is something very, very close to my heart. So it also tightly emerges with my personal story and testimony. So I'm going to weave a little bit of that into the message today, and so that we also get to know each other. But more importantly, the key aspect of what I want to talk about, some of you would have seen the title, is time to put on your strength. It's time to put on your strength. Because as a child of God, there are two ways to live. One is what we can manage to do and the style in which we can manage to live. The other is the way and the style and the manner in which God wants us to live. So these are two different things. Because when we say, this is how I'm going to live, it's based on various things that we know already and we are used to. We see our fathers, our grandfathers, our society, our friends, our uncles and aunts, and we say, this is how we've lived and this is how we are going to live. That's one way of doing it. The other way is to live based on God's word, to live based on God's idea for your life. And today I'm going to talk about one of those ways. And it's time for us, for you and for me, for every single person sitting here, to put on our strength, as this scripture says. Awake, awake, put on your strength. If you look at the scripture, this is a very interesting scripture because it comes at the beginning of this chapter that goes on to talk about what we did today, the communion, the cross. It actually goes on to Isaiah 53, which is the prophecy about the cross. It just leads on towards that. And it also has these important scriptures which you might have noticed, how beautiful are the feet of the ones who bring good news. It just leads on to that. It's a very, very powerful, potential two chapters, full of power. So I highly recommend when you go back home today, just go through it. We'll only look at a few aspects of it. But the thing with this scripture is it's an alarm clock kind of a word, you know. It starts with what? What are the two words that starts with? Awake, awake, knock, knock, hello, get up. I think that's what God is telling us today. God, you know, when I started preparing for this, you know, when we had our conversation and I said, you know, do you want to share your word, and I started looking at it, I literally felt God is knocking on each of your lives and saying, awake, awake, hello, wake up. Have you ever woken somebody up like that? They're sleeping? Wake up. Wake up, awake, awake, and put on your strength. Because I'm telling you, as a body of Christ, I think the way we are going about our life is not as though we are putting on our strength. It's not as though we live in a state of wakefulness. No. Slumber, slow, relaxed, not so strong, weak. We allow the things of the world to slow us down, to pull us down, the way we go about our life. But that's not what God wants. God is saying what? Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Come on. What's happening with you is what God is saying. Right? And it's also an interesting scripture because it has seven action steps in just those few lines.
right? Let's just look at that. It's not just an alarm, but it's actually a set of instructions, set of seven action steps, action verbs, you know, that it has six of it that we need to do, one of it that God will do. Interesting, right? So you know who has the bigger part to play here. Six things that we need to do and one that God will do. Let's look at that scripture first of all. It says, awake, awake. So point number one, we need to be awake. So wake up. Waking up is our job, right? You and me, if you decide not to wake up and you say, no, I want to sleep a little bit more, God can't do much about it, right? Because he's a respecter of his creation. That's what led to the fall. He gave the power in the hands of man, and he respected man that he stepped out and said, it's up to you if you want to obey or not. So it's up to us to take these actions. First action is to wake up. Are you ready to wake up, church? I am ready, right? Number two, put on your strength. Again, put on your strength. God didn't say, come, let me help you put on your strength. Because most of the time, that's what we're doing. We're praying and saying, God, give me strength. Put on my strength. But God is like, no, put on your strength. We'll just see in a minute what that means, practically speaking. But God says, put on your strength. Then, third, shake yourself from the dust. Again, God didn't say, get up. I'll put on your strength. Come, let me shake yourself from, shake you off of all your dust. No, shake yourself from the dust. Next, arise, get up, sit down. Number five, sit down. Number six, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck. And then when you do all of this, comes God's action saying, all of this, is all this very, very difficult? No, these are all things that we need to think about and say and decide and determine that this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to put on my strength. I'm going to arise. I'm going to sit down. And I am going to be free from all the bonds around my neck. Once you make that decision, God enables it by the last action he promises, saying, for thus says the Lord, you have sold yourself for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. The redemption part, which is the toughest aspect of this entire equation, is done by who? It's done by God on the cross. It's already complete. So God is basically, what is this saying? It is saying, this is a partnership. This is a partnership between you and God. This is a partnership between us, where we decide to live in a particular way, and God is saying, I'll enable you to do that. So that is the Christian lifestyle. Because I'll tell you this, the way this applied to me, because I do not come from a Christian family, so I'll go into a little bit of my story. So I was born and brought up in a small town in India, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I was just going about, just doing the regular thing. But I was very interested in the concept of God, because right when I was a kid, my mom said something that I'll never forget. She said, Nachi, the most important thing in life is for you to understand this person called God. I don't know where she got that idea from, but she told me when I was really young. And that kind of stayed in my head. So I started looking at who God is. I wanted to understand right from my childhood, so I was very curious about it. And I was going about searching. But that just went on regularly for many years. And then just about college time, when I was in my late teenage years, good to see all the youngsters in the room. So as I was going about having this thing in my mind, if I have to be successful, if I have to make something out of my life, I need to understand this person called God. That was always in my head, right from when I was a kid. And when I became a teenager, I came across I started going to different places and really looking at various, hearing various teaching, not just Christian teaching, various teaching from different religions. And then one day, I'm sitting in this place and I'm listening to this person. So one of my classmates, she invited me to go to this church to hear this person who talks like, she knew that I liked management and we were doing MBA and business and all that. And she said, you like this guy, the way he speaks, you know, you should come and listen. So I said, okay, let's go. And so I went there and I sat down and I was listening. And this question, this big question that I had in my mind he started answering it in his sermon. I won't go into the full details of it, but that just, you know, just transformed my life. And this question that I had in my head for years and years and years started getting answered in that one sermon. So let me give you an outline of that question that I had. You know, when I was studying various scriptures from different religions, the big concept that I was looking at was one side is man, another side is God. So in my head, I was having this circle of life. So one side, the man is traveling, and then this side, there is God traveling along with him. And at one point, God and man, they meet. So my question was, when God and man, they are going to meet each other, the ultimate, you know, ultimate achievement in the spiritual equation and search for God, my question was, how can God and man meet? Because during the teaching session that I had, you know, they came and that there came a time when they said, this is the ultimate revelation of life. When you're seeking God, when you're looking at who this person is, right? I told you this whole search of who God is. And when you're asking this question, who's really God? And all the teachings, all the years, culminates at a point where they come to this ultimate secret that they tell you in your ears. And that secret is, this is from various scriptures and various ancient teaching, this secret was, that I got to hear from people was, you are God. You and God are one, you know? So I just, at that point, I just stepped back and I said, wait, I am God? Yeah, if I am God, then the world is in trouble, you know? That can't really be the fact. So, because I know what I have, what the problems I have, the difficulties I have, the issues that I have, I can't be God. But I understand that I'm like God. So there was this gap, and this gap is what kept me going through my teen years as a kid. And I said, let's just put this on hold until I get the answer. So coming back to that point where I was sitting in the church listening to this person, he's talking about the circle of life. And he's talking about man, the sinful man, and the holy God, both of them having this journey. And if you can imagine the circle, the point at which they meet, he said, there's only one thing that can make that meeting happen. You know what that was? The cross. If you can see this cross, and if you can imagine a circle going from here to there, the cross, the horizontal bar of the cross, basically links the gap in the circle. Can you see that? Right? That was the moment, friends. It's the shortest version of my testimony. That was the moment I was sitting like this one day in church, and I said, this is the truth. This is the absolute truth. In fact, the CrossPoint logo has almost that picture, you know. The circle and then, you know, God kind of linking. It's like an electrical circuit where there is a circle and the horizontal bar of the cross links the sinful man with the holy God. That's it. That's all you need to sparkle that. So at that point, I said, that's it. I'm becoming a Christian. So at that point, I walked out of the church and I said, this is the answer that I've been searching for years. Because it just answered every single question I had. Some of the questions I had was, how can I approach God if I'm sinful, if I have all these problems? I knew the sins I had in my system, right? I knew the way I was thinking was not right. What I was doing was not right. All those things I knew. So how can I approach God? How can I pray to this God? How can I have this relationship with this amazing creator of heaven and earth? I didn't create the heaven and earth. You know, and it didn't get created by itself. I was an engineer. I knew that. You know, I studied engineering. I did my electronic instrumentation. So for me, it's either one or zero. It's all ones and zeros. How many of you know all the computers? Everything works on ones and zeros. Your iPhones, everything works on ones and zeros. So as an engineer, I know it's either one or zero. There's no 0.5. So there's either God or there's no God. You know, he either created it or he didn't. I can't say, well, I'm not sure. Let's see how life goes on. No, I had to know the answer. So at this point, when I was sitting in church and this circle got completed, I just woke up from my chair and I said, that's it. I figured it out. This is the answer. I hadn't yet figured it out, by the way. So I just got to know the truth, and I walked out. And it took a few years for me to really understand what that meant. But what I'm saying now is that point, maybe some of you here have that question in your heart. What is this whole God business? I mean, you know it's there, but you're not able to place your finger on it. If you are in that point, don't worry. God will help you understand him. There's no better person who can reveal himself than Jesus himself. I mean, he will reveal himself to you through the word, and he will reveal who he is, and you will start walking with him closely. Now, at that point, after I became a Christian, everything seemed to be going fine. But after I became a Christian, things started going down south. So first of all, without going too much into the story, my family lost everything. My mother was a doctor. My father was a businessman. We're doing pretty okay. Everything was going smooth. Guess what? Things started getting not so good. One fine day, my father comes and we have the family discussion just before my sister got married. So we are having this family discussion about the marriage. How many of you know Indian wedding? You know how it happens. It's a big deal. When I say big deal, it's a massive big deal. Weddings are everything. People get into they can spend literally millions on weddings. Okay, so weddings are a big deal. So we had just two of us, me and my sister. So we wanted to do the wedding well, and we sat down and we started discussing. And that is when we realized that all that we had as a wealth and everything was going down south, and our family was not what we thought it was, at least what I thought it was. So, long story short, everything crashed, and I had just become a Christian. Just a few years, maybe even months down the line, and I'm recognizing this destruction right in front of my eyes. I'm seeing the whole thing being disintegrated right in front of my eyes. So, went into hundreds of thousands of US dollar worth debt, and my life was basically over. At that point, I did not have the name Nachi Lazarus, just Nachi. So at that point, now I come back to our scripture. This is the verse that God gave me at that point. And it started speaking to me in ways that are unbelievable. Awake, awake, put on your strength. What strength? What strength are you talking about, Lord? We've lost everything. I quit my job. I started working in a bank as early as I was 21 years old. I was a bank manager. I did really well in my studies. I was a gold medalist in my engineering, MBA. I got a job as soon as I finished out of business school. I was doing great. And a few years down the line, because of this whole debt situation, I had to quit my job because I couldn't be working because my salary wouldn't even pay half of, like, part of the interest that we were supposed to pay for our debt. Complete destructed scenario. So we moved out of our house, sold all the properties, nothing in our hand, and still there was debt to be dealt with. And I'm sitting in this small room, you know, that just this big. I'm not exaggerating. That's about it. This is the room I used to live in for a monthly rent, maybe $20, $30 US dollars worth rent for a month. So I'm living in that space, just a bed and a table. That's it. Common bathrooms and toilets. So I just sitting there and I'm reading the scripture. And this verse, my friend, that I just read, God gave it to me at that point in my life. And right now I'm standing before you. We run companies in two different countries. I travel all over the world, speak in different conferences. We have a thriving business, completely out of debt many years ago. God took us out of debt, and all of that happened. And this scripture happened before that. Awake, awake, put on your strength. Put on your strength. See, what you decide to put on when you're going through something is absolutely crucial. Because today, if I don't put on this jacket, I'll be freezing. Right? So God gave me some simple three things that I want to share with you from the scripture. Before I go into a little more details, I know we're running out of time, but before I go into the details, I want to share with you three daily actions he wanted me to do. You ready for some action? It's going to feel like Sunday school, but let's do it. So he told me every day, because we are a psychosomatic human being, right? What is psychosomatic is body and mind works together. So when you do some actions, when you actually get into some routines, it's going to help you. So one of the routines that God gave me was from the scripture, three actions he wanted me to take. First, put on your strength, put on your garments, right? So I would wake up every day and do the first thing is put on my garment, the garment of righteousness that comes through the blood of Jesus. I would put it on. Second, shake yourself from the dust. So I literally used to do this action, shake yourself from the dust. Because there is dust, there is dirt, there is filth, there is uncleanness within that is sticking onto us. Would you wear a nice looking, lovely, white, beautiful coat, you know, whatever, you know, expensive clothes they have, right? Would you put that and go and stand in a dusty road that is being constructed? No, you would move away because of what you're wearing. So when you and me are wearing the garment of strength, the garment of righteousness, we can't be standing and hanging around in places that are filth and dirt. So shake yourself, right? Dust yourself. So first was put on your garments. Second was dust yourself. And the third was lose yourself from the bonds. And at that point, I was literally in bonds around my neck because of the debt situation. I know it's debt for me, but for some it's sickness. For some it's disease. For some it's family, you know, relationship that are toxic. There are lots of things that feel like a bond around your neck. Have you ever felt that? What is a bond around your neck? Have you seen the bond around the necks of, you know, pets that we have? They can't run. They can't move. There's no freedom. You can't go. You can't accomplish what God wants you to accomplish if you have bonds around your neck. So the third thing was lose yourself from the bonds around your neck. So the first thing is put on your garments. Everybody say put on your garments. Dust off yourself. Release, lose yourself from the bonds. Right? So these were the three action things that God gave me at that time. And I did that every single day. You will not believe. I've read this scripture almost every day. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll read this scripture. Because what it does is, when you take this literally and you start, you know, getting it deeper into your system and you start moving forward based on God's word, your life starts changing. Because your behavior starts changing. Your attitude towards life starts changing. When everybody looked at me and said, Nachi, you're not going to make it, God said, put on your strength. And that is when he gave me John chapter 11, which is the Lazarus story, and I took my last name, Lazarus. So I literally went and I changed my name in passport and everything as Nachi Lazarus. Because God told me, you are Lazarus. I'm going to raise you from the dead. The world has shut their door on you. This is a debt situation you could never get out of. I was a banker, mind you. I did my calculations. I knew if I could get out of this or not. And I was a smart banker, actually. Out of college with my gold medal, I did all my calculations really, really well. And I knew I was done. My chapter was closed. But God said, no, that's what you say. That's what everybody says. But guess what I say? It's never over until God says, and God never says it's over. Right? So putting on your strength, putting on your garment means change in thinking. The way you look at life starts changing because you operate in strength, church. This is my message for you today that I've carried all the way. 22 hours of flight. Anybody flown 22 hours? It's a long flight. And I'm carrying this message to you saying, put on what? Put on your strength. And what is your strength? Let's just understand this whole strength business because I want you to walk out with a lot of understanding of what we are talking about here. First, what does it mean to put on your strength? What is this whole strength business is? It's, first of all, you need to understand the source of your strength. What is the source of your strength? The scripture right there says that. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments. So the source of your strength as a Christian, as a child of God, comes from the robe of righteousness that Jesus has bought for you on the cross. So if anybody here thinks you're going to make it in life, you might. A lot of people do without God, but that's one way to do it. But there's another way to do it, which is the way I discovered. You know, I was speaking to one of the smartest groups of business school people in the world. I have this real good opportunity to talk about it because I'm both from the business world and from the faith world. So I get this opportunity to talk. So I was talking to these guys and I said, what is the smartest thing to do when you're writing an exam? The first option is I'll give you a book. You can look open book test, right? The other option is I will get the author to sit next to you, the author who wrote the book, and then, you know, you can write the exam talking to him. Which do you think is a smart thing to do as a smart guy, right? Obviously, the author. Why would I keep the book and keep searching for answers if I haven't, you know, that's hard work. So the best smart way to live in life is to have this relationship with the creator of heaven and earth, which is what I'm discovering every single day. Look at me. I mean, when I travel, I come and stand here. When I share this, I'm just looking back all those years in that insignificant little room where nobody knew me. Nobody would listen to me. Nobody wants to do anything to do with me. All my friends went away. All our relatives went away. All my friends, you know, family, everybody was gone. I was just alone. Nobody wanted to do anything to do with me because they were afraid I might ask them for money. You know, the thing with debt is everybody you look at, you think they're going to solve your debt problem. The next guy you look at, you're wondering if you want to get money from him or somebody's going to give it to you. You know, even some of the sermons I heard, everybody said, God is going to send you someone who is going to, you know, help you. I heard some sermons like that, and I thought, good. So everybody I met, I'd be like, oh, there's Keith. Keith's going to solve my problem. Ooh, there's Pastor Mike. He's going to solve my problem. God is like, nope. Seven actions out of the seven, six of it, who has to take? I need to take. I need to wake up to who I am. I need to put on my garments. I need to dust myself off the uncleanness that I had. I need to remove myself from the bonds of the neck. I need to make a quality decision that I'm going to live the way God wants me to live. That is what putting on strength is all about. So your source of strength comes from the robe of righteousness. So if you haven't taken a decision to be with God, think again, my friend. This is the smartest thing to do in the world is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he's the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who gave you purpose in life. And if you know the one who gave you the purpose, he knows the way for you to get to that purpose. Number two, after knowing the source, second, what does the whole living in strength look like? What does it contain, right? If you look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 to 10, which I'm not going to read fully, but basically that word that comes, it says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What is your strength? When I say put on your strength, what is your strength? The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Oh, what a topic to talk about. You know, the joy of the Lord is a very different thing. It's not just, you know, smiling all the time. It's not just, you know, going around, jumping around and doing all that. That's not the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is the joy that you have when you're sitting in that little room and you're looking at the scripture and declaring, I shall not borrow, but I will lend to many nations. I am not the head and not the tail. I will be above and not beneath. All of it when you still have hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. Now that is the joy of the Lord. Have you ever experienced the joy of the Lord when you are going through the problem? That is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is a very contagious thing. You know, sometimes when people meet me, they say, Nachi, there's something I like about what you're saying and what you're doing. Well, that's not me. I know it's not me. You know what that is? The joy of the Lord. And you know what that is? That is your strength. Do you have the joy of the Lord? I'm telling you what, when you have the joy of the Lord, you wouldn't know it. The others would know it. Everyone you meet, they will know it. They would just look at you and say, I love this guy. I love this girl. I just want to just hang around with them. There's something different about them. That is the joy of the Lord. So you can get it. You can get it. And the source of all this is the robe of righteousness. Again, the three things. What is it? Put on the robe. Dust yourself. The third is taking away the bonds of around your neck. So that is the definition of the joy of the Lord. And ultimately, when all of this happens, you get to display this strength in your everyday life? How do you display that strength? Again, this scripture tells us, right? As you go down, Isaiah chapter 52, you can go home and read. As you go down to the 7th to 10th verse, it says how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So what does this mean? What has that got to do with my problems? You know, when God gave me the scripture, I said, wait a minute, let's talk about my debt. God is like, no, we're not talking about your debt. We'll talk about announcing the good news. I'm like, no, I want to talk about the debt. Because I need to make my payment tomorrow morning, you know. He's like, Nachi, relax. You put on your strength, put on your robe of righteousness, put on the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, and we'll deal with the debt. That's not a big deal. How many of you know it's not a big deal for God? When you think your problem is big, it's not a big deal for God. God has other things in mind. What is the other thing? This is the other thing. Look at me, 2023. Through the pandemic, through the ups and downs, through the recession, I'm standing here, and what am I doing? I'm announcing the good news. Guess what? This is what God wanted for me at that time, years ago. He was not thinking about my debt because that debt is not a big problem for him. He's not thinking about your sickness because your sickness is not a big problem for him. He's not thinking about your relationship issues because that's not a big problem for him. He can help you solve all of that if at the end you are willing to stand here and do this, which is how beautiful are the feet of the ones who brings good news. So here is what God wanted me to tell you, church. Every one of you has a role in announcing this good news. And at the end, when you put on your strength, when you put on this robe of righteousness, when you walk with God, when you give your life to him and say, take it, and he helps you loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, you know what the end goal is? The end goal is for you to play a part in the announcing of the gospel in your own way. You don't have to be a preacher. Not all of us are going to be a preacher. Not all of us are going to be on stage. Not all of us are going to do this faith-based work. But in your own workplace, in your own families, in your own businesses, in your own ways, God will continue to use you. And even as a church today, the way you guys are supporting Butts of Christ in India, that is a display of strength. That is a display of having that robe of righteousness. When you wear your strength, when you walk around wearing that robe of righteousness, when you have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength inside of you, and you start displaying it, that is the kind of actions that you will take. You will help people get out of debt. You will help people get out of their bondage. You will help people by announcing the good news of the cross. So that's the end. That's the end picture. That's what God wants you to do. But that's not going to happen if you don't take the bonds around your neck. So every day, here is what I'm going to leave you with. Three things. Can you do three things? Every day you wake up, and what do? You put on your strength, dust yourself of all uncleanness, which means go away from those toxic relationships, move away from the filth and dirt that may be around you, surrounding you, because you're wearing the righteousness. And the third is lose yourself from the bond around your neck. So whatever you think is holding you back as a bond that's not allowing you to be free, remove it. Ask God to help you remove it, right? Can we pray for those three things? Yeah, as we close. So that is what living a life with putting on your strength, that is what it looks like. It looks like every day getting up, putting on your... Why don't we all stand up if you can? And then let's just do these three actions, and then I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll close. Okay? Ready? Like school children? Good. Ready? Put on your strength. Dust yourself of any dirt and filth. Remove any bonds around your neck. All right? One more time. Put on your strength. Dust yourself off of any filth. And remove any bonds around your neck. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and praise you because you have brought each one of us here to hear your voice, that you want us to live a life of strength. You want us to go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, Father, just like we read what happened in the scripture to the men of God and women of God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for anyone in this room who might have that bond around their neck, whether it is debt or it is sickness or disease or relationships or anything that is holding us back, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak releasing or loosening of those bonds in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, they will put on the robe of righteousness through the blood of Jesus. And they will have the joy of the Lord inside their heart. And they will dust themselves off of any dust or filth that surrounds them or on top of them, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the church. I thank you for Crosspoint. I thank you for what you have in store for the days to come. I thank you for the leaders. I thank you for their love for all the work that you're doing around the world. I bless this church. I bless every single person in the name of Jesus. And we look forward to all that you will do in the days to come. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Nachi. All right, church, we're going to end with one last song. you continue to be a light in our lives, Lord, that we be reminded that you continue to bless us, and you continue to give us the things that we don't deserve because we love you, and we know that in the end that you're the light to our path, and without you there's no salvation, and there's only bad and hell and everything, but with you we're hopeful, and I just pray that we continue to do these things in your name and for your glory and your honor, Lord, and pray this in your name.